Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm Jeff, along with my co-host Leanne, Hall of Famer, I might add, coming to you from our respective Turn It, Don't Burn It studios on the West Coast and the East Coast down there. And we're very thankful that you're with us today. We would like to thank our sponsors, Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and check out everything about them. Well, we've talked to our friend today who's on the show with us before a number of times over the years, and I always enjoy talking to him. Noah Glanville is with us from Pit Barrel Cookers, and we've got a lot of things to talk about. And first of all, welcome.
Yes,
thanks, welcome. Jeff. And, yeah, thanks, Jeff and Leanne. Great to be back on the show. Appreciate you having me on.
Not a problem. We always enjoy it. So general question here, Noah, what's going on with Pit Barrel Cookers these days?
Gosh, what isn't going on? We're getting ready for barbecue season. You know, traditionally, the traditional barbecue season, things are starting to warm up in some places in the country. And it doesn't take long for people to get out and start grilling. You know, you've got the smiley face states, you know, that are always grilling, but as we call them. But yeah, a lot of other places are starting to get going. Things are warming up. People are thinking about grills and making sure they've got all their accessories and looking at different things and videos on food. So it's an exciting time in the industry.
It's probably a welcome time too, isn't it? After I don't want to say dormant winter, but because no businesses ever go dormant during the winter, but you know, half this country is above the snow line, so to speak, from November to April. And when that starts to dissipate, I'm sure the numbers start to go up.
Sure. We do see a dip, but you know, one of the unique things about our product is it does cook a really good turkey and prime rib. So, you know, we've got that solid core, you know, traditional barbecue season, but then, you know, towards the fourth quarter, you get a really good bump in sales on, you know, one, just a lot of people exposed for the first time seeing a turkey cooked at Thanksgiving or Christmas. And then it follows up with Christmas gifts and things like that. So we kind of punch right through, but it does slow down a little bit. And, you know, really right after Super Bowl is when it kind of dies down. And that's a good time to take a vacation, do a little bit of cleaning and tuning up, and then, you know, get ready for spring again.
Mm-hmm. Now, you came out with a new product last fall. I was on your list there, Badger Barrel. That's kind of an offshoot, a different design. I don't know how many people have that listen to this show are familiar with it, but maybe you can give us an idea about, one, how you came up with it, two, why you came up with it, and three, all about it.
Sure. So yeah, Badger Barrel's a really exciting project. And I say project, it's not just a product. It's a brand that really stands for something. And to kind of answer the third part of your question, it's everything that Pit Barrel, you know, isn't and people wanted it to be. You know, we really, our brand has always strived on good price point, good value to the consumer. You know, my business motto is always, you know, before making any business decision, ask what's best for the consumer or the customer prior to making that decision. And usually you make the right decision as far as manufacturing, you know, things like that. So this product we wanted at a really good price point. You know, it is a lot thinner gauge. It's lighter. It's not, you know, it's definitely not built like the Pit Barrel, but it's something that is a lot of fun. And it's also something that we're really skating on the line of, you know, thick skin, sense of humor. And, you know, it really is, it's a brand that, you know, when you have something that is absolutely amazing, that's lean and, you know, absolutely just dominates and eats the competition, doesn't matter what it is. And it's, you know, maybe under $300 shipped to your door. What is that? That's a Badger. It's lean, it's mean, it's efficient, it's badass. And so we said, let's Badger Barrel. It's perfect. So then it's kind of evolved into, and we've created a lot of assets and a lot of videos, and it's a fun brand. It really is meant to be fun and, you know, something that the consumer wants to be a part of. And I think that, you know, regardless of where you sit politically, there's, I think so many people are tired of the politics and they're tired of, you know, pandering to different things and are kind of longing for a brand that really knows who their demographic is and stays true to it. And that's something that we've said, this is the perfect opportunity to, you know, be proud of wearing Badger Barrel apparel or a hat. And it really stand for something that it's an awesome product. It's quality. It's great price point. It absolutely does not speak corporate greed like we've seen. And it speaks its own mind and it's fun. And it does it in a funny way through the videos that points out a lot of the craziness that you see. But, you know, the Badger Barrel uses, you know, use your brain and use a little common sense and focus on the important things in life.
Was that also designed, Noah, for lack of a better word, tailgating, that type of thing, because it is lighter, it's a little smaller than the, you know, the big pit barrel and that type of thing. Did you have that in mind when you worked on that?
Absolutely. And with this, we wanted this to be mobile again at a better price point that is just more affordable to more people. And you can take more places. It collapses down. If you want to just do the hibachi, you can clamp the lid on and you take the midsection out. Even if you put the midsection in, it's light enough that it's easily, you can easily move it around and tailgate, take it over to someone else's place. But, you know, we want to be able to tap into every demographic and age group. You know, I think it may lend itself a little bit better to the younger demographic, but mm-hmm. I mean, if you like a good deal and you like some of the best food you've ever tasted, it's probably in your demographic too.
Well, when I looked at it, and I happen to have, thank you, Noah, I have two of them sitting, I was telling Leanne, in the foyer of our house here, but those are for special events that were coming up. What struck me is if you've got maybe couples or whatever, or somebody got their first apartment or they got their first rental house, you know, whatever, they're getting started in life. Something like that is perfect for them because, like you said, it's light. It doesn't take up a lot of space. You can do a multitude of things with it. And, you know, if you're 22 or 24 and you're getting your first place and you want to have your friends over, bam, there it is. It's just perfect for that.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it probably will settle somewhere around a $249 price point. So $249 for a product shipped to your door that is just outstanding and again beats the competition, you know, and cookers that are smokers that are thousands of dollars. That's a no-brainer. That's good value.
Sure. Well, yeah, and I just think it's a great
and cooking over charcoal, nothing better. I mean,
it is.
That's a great value.
For sure. Well,
the other thing is you can spend that much money and more and go to a big box store and buy a gas grill, which is fine. I use them. I use everything just like Leanne does. But that $249 you're going to spend on the, if you will, and 300 to your door with Badger or even with the pit barrels, they're going to last a lot longer than those, you know, 0.1 gauge steel gas grills that you buy at the big box. You know, you're going to get a season out of those, maybe two, and then you're going to have to replace parts if you can get them and so on and so forth. So I just really see the value in this.
No doubt. And you know, again, at the price point of $249, I mean, there's not many things you can get shipped to your door that you're going to use in that capacity that, you know, is that price and that value. So even if, I mean, even if the thing got run over in the course of living like a badger and cooking and going and tailgating and, you know, hanging out with friends and doing all the stuff that you should be doing, you know, and enjoying life, things are going to happen. And when it does happen, it's not a matter of the ceramic lid broke and you're looking at, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to fix and wait. It's not a big deal. You could always order another one and it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah. Is there a Badger mascot for the sports teams? Because you could definitely focus in. It seems like there has to be somebody that has the Badgers and then they could have their Badger cooker.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're big and into it, and no doubt. And we love that. We have a, if you go to our website, you can see it's and it's fun. It's good, clean fun. If you know, and the motto is, you know, badgers, not butterflies. So if you're a butterfly, you need your hand held, you know, can't decide which side of the fence you want to be on, things like that. That's kind of what it's about.
That's funny.
But if you go to the website, one of the first things that pops up is, you know, this quick, you know, are you sure you're not a badger, or you know, sure you're not a butterfly rather. And if you aren't sure, you can click on it. It takes you to this video that is the badger for all the videos that we do. And it's really fun. And we're going to launch that. You know, we did a soft launch, but we're going to do more of a larger launch when we have more of the product and that arrives, you know, kind of right before barbecue season. So
sure.
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely. We're talking with Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cookers and Badger Barrels. And we're going to take a quick break here on the network, and we're going to be back on Barbecue Nation with myself and Ms. Whippin and Mr. Glanville right after this. Stay with us. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. If you'd like to reach out to us, very easy. Leanne and I are all over Facebook, respectively for the show, and then our own different pages. And we have Instagram and Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, LinkedIn, all those things. So you can reach out to us there, or you can just go to the website and send us an email from there. It's all very good. Today we're talking with my good friend Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cookers. You and I were talking last week, Noah, about we're going to switch gears here on everybody, about the business. And in a general question, what did COVID and the COVID shutdown teach you and your staff there at Pit Barrel?
Boy, that's a big one to unpack.
Yeah,
it Jeff. Is.
You got 9 minutes. So
yeah, I mean, I guess if I put the CEO lens on it, it unmasked a lot of things. And I used the word corporate greed a little earlier. And you know, ultimately, I don't think there's ever been a display of corporate greed like what COVID showed. And you know, and really driving up inflation and people raising prices unwarranted. You know, it's like, hey, there's no reason for this. This doesn't make sense. This commodity or you know, product didn't go up. Why are we seeing an increase? And quite simply, it's well, because everyone's raising their prices or shipping. But you know, it did really made companies ultimately at either. You either grew significantly And then as a result, you over forecasted because you thought it was going to continue to happen. And in the grill industry and among many other industries, there's just been a surplus of consumer goods. And it, and I don't think it really matters what it is. If you're in this consumer goods space, most companies way over forecasted. And then, you know, so speaking from this industry, you know, what we've seen is we didn't way over forecast, but what hurt us was the, you know, gas grills, for example. You know, if there's and other products and other brands that aren't necessarily gas grills, some charcoal, they had a good relationship with their retailers, mom and pop retailers, and they ended up, there's this huge surplus. The manufacturer, the brand has to try to clear it out. And in many cases, all of a sudden these retailers are seeing the products that they're selling online for in many cases cheaper than what they paid for it. Mm-hmm. And right. Because they've got to move it. And that puts the mom and pop retailer in a really bad spot, of course. Uh-huh. And, you know, we've been able to, as I've always said, you know, in order to keep the lights on, we don't have to supply 500,000 gas grills. And I'm really glad that we're in that boat. Small family owned business still. We want to grow responsibly. So, you know, in some cases, yeah, we have a little bit more product, but than we'd like, but you know, that didn't kill us. I think, you know, the workforce, we were fortunate enough to see that we needed to scale down. And, you know, we started doing that, 18 to 24 months ago, really reducing our overhead. And I think that, and I say this now, if we didn't make that adjustment, that would have been detrimental. And you see, you know, and you don't have to look far to see all the CEOs that either, you know, quit or were jettisoned from their organization in the last 3 years, how many CEOs of big companies that have left and moved on. There's been some serious headwinds that have been really challenging for companies. And then you have, you know, that those are, you know, real costs, logistics and shipping and warehousing.
Right.
And then you have the employees that, you know, are in many cases, sometimes incentivized at one point to stay home. And then, you know, now that's kind of leveling out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very tough. We had another friend of the show. And of course, he's been on a multitude of times. Will Homer from Painted Hills Beef was on a couple weeks ago. And he was talking about the same thing, that because we asked him, like, how did the beef prices in particular, because he can answer that, jump from, you know, to X to X plus five in a very short period of time. And he had an explanation for that, but I don't think it was an explanation that people really wanted to hear, because a lot of it mirrors what you were saying. You know, they were paying prior to COVID and stuff, and actually during COVID, they were paying, you know, I'm going to make up some numbers here. They were paying 97 cents a pound for live cattle that they put into their program, feed out, do all that, and send them down the road. Now they're having to pay $1.15. And you say, well, you know, that's what, 20 cents difference. But do that on 60,000 pounds of beef a week. You know, and do the math out, it becomes a huge number. And what you've also seen is versus online stuff, and you do see a lot of online, you know, soft goods, if you will, food being sold this way now too. But you also see it to where, like Will was saying, they don't want to put that ribeye steak now is actually costing $23 a pound. They don't put that in their flyers. They don't put that in their advertising. They're trying to push the lower meats to do that, to keep it under $20, because they figure $20 is the retailers, the big chain retailers feel that $20 is a a breaking point mentally for people when they go shopping. So there's some correlations there. And like you as a manufacturer in that, same with the producers in the food side of it, they got this jumped up on them by the big guys and they couldn't stop it really. It was tough. Go ahead.
On Leanne, a separate note, I'm just curious, all your inventory that you had to sit on, did you find, as I see, you know, you said people were lowering their prices to below cost to even the wholesale price. You know, did you have to put your products on sale because of that? Were you forced into it to kind of get rid of the inventory and that help you stay afloat, so you have some money coming in?
Short answer, Leanne, is yes. And I think psychologically, one of the things that happened is because of the mass surplus of inventory, that everyone had deals. So, I mean, it trained the consumer that, and I mean, it's still to this day, people do not want to buy unless there's a deal, unless there's right. 15, 20% off. You know, they want a deal, no one's paying sticker price. And it's really tough to do that. So, you know, I don't want to see competitors go out of business. And I think, you know, the more I look at, you know, competitors and competitions is a good thing. Whether it's PK Grills, you know, bring somebody into charcoal grilling for the first time, that's great, because, you know, eventually I think we're going to be able to, if you're open to charcoal cooking and getting your hands dirty, we're probably going to have an opportunity at that same consumer at some point. I look at it a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that where it's a little bit disheartening is when a brand has grossly overcharged, and that's where something I'm proud that we haven't done that. If you look at our accessories and you look at our products and our price point, we've always been really fair. And one of the ways we're able to be very fair is we are primarily online. So, you know, the big box retailer doesn't take their cut, and, you know, we're able to provide more value directly to the consumer. But when you see other brands that, you know, have charged, you know, $50 for a spatula.
Yeah.
and then all of a sudden they're selling it for a quarter of the price. You know, and that may not be the best example, but any product that's at premium and then all of a sudden it's way less, you know, consumers they're not fools, and they look at it and say, wait a second, how for all those years did you just grossly overcharged your customer just for a brand, because now all of a sudden you're able to offer these 40, 60% off sales and they're consistent, but they also can't get out of it, because once you've gone down to a certain price, it's very difficult to raise back up. And if you do, your sales go down for a while until you lower your price back down, and then you get your sales. So, you know, I think that's starting to balance out a little bit more. But you know, the consumer still wants they want to shop and buy smart and everywhere. I mean, how many emails do you get a day from, you know, all the different big box retailers that are offering, you know, I mean, they're making up new holidays for reasons to buy and, yeah, and things, you know, so it's not just, you know, Cyber Day and, you know, Black Friday and, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, it's almost every day. There's once a week, there's some, you know, catchy thing that, you know, they're offering deals. So that's, everyone's realized that's kind of the new playing field.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes with Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cookers and with Leanne and myself on Barbecue Nation right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT with Leanne, and today we're talking with Noah Glanville. We'd like to, again, thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. Go to their website and look around. If you can't, they have a store locator there, and if you can't find something near you, you can order from them. They have a select menu, you might say, on their website. They don't sell everything that they put out in the retail stores, but it's there. And also, pink batter, best rub on the planet, according to those in the know. And that happens to be Leanne's deal, created by her father. And now,
as Noah said, 'tis the season. Get ready to grill.
Tis the season. Go to pinkpowder.com, and Leanne will make sure you get your whatever size you order. She did run out of pictures, though. We have to get her some more pictures to autograph and send with it each order. But we're working on that.
I'm actually almost out of the big 24-ouncers for a while.
Yeah. Oh, don't say
that.
Yeah,
I am.
Don't say that.
Yep.
Well, we'll put it in a baggie and send it to him.
Okay.
There you go. Anyway, let's get back and talk some more with Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cooker. No, when you got out of the military and started Pit Barrel, that was quite a while ago now, and you went through all your prototypes and finally got the first one out there, and you know, then you started doing the accessories and all that, and that all takes time, and it takes determination to get there. But when you did that, did you think you would be where you are today when you started, or was it just a hope?
You know, I've got that question a few times, and I think the best way to answer it is I knew the product was fantastic. And even to this day, and, you know, I'm, of course, the best salesman of our own product. But to this day, the truth of the matter is there's not another product on the market, period, that cooks food the way this thing does. And let alone price point. You know, we're not, you know, and I've said this before, we're not a company that's had, you know, a huge capital injection to, you know, kind of with a bunch of horsepower deliver a message in marketing. Our best customers are our best salespeople are our customers. And so, you know, that allows us to grow organically. And thank God that's been our motto, because we might have been in a real pickle after COVID if we were, you know, much larger. So I believe things happen for a reason, and you know, and where we are in size, and we'll live to fight another day. We were able to reduce costs, overhead, and as we continue to grow, and I think, you know, with Badger Barrel, it's a really good time to introduce something to into the market with a certain attitude that I think is
sure
just teed up perfectly for what people are looking for now.
Yeah. You know, I was at the Jack last fall with Leanne, and we did a live show from Byron's place, and she was a judge and I was a tourist with my wife, and a couple of in-laws came along. And so when I went out on the infield one morning, and I was looking, it wasn't the day of the competition, it was the day before, but I was looking at everybody's cookers and talking to them, and some of them we'd had on the show the night before, and then there was some other people around the periphery. Most of them were all in the competition, but I was really kind of amazed to see the number of different types of barrel cookers. Competition is healthy, but when I would stop and talk to them, they all had, you know, well, the airflow is changed in this and that and blah, blah, blah. And some of it kind of made sense as far as competitive cooking, I'll put it that way. But not a lot of it made sense to me. And that's not just because I'm your friend, Noah, but not a lot of it made sense to me for the backyard. You know what I mean? There was a lot of there was some bells and whistles, and some of them looked kind of cool. Some of them looked like some sort of contraption out of a 1950s movie where, you know, the evil scientist had created something there and that. And I just wanted to get your take on that, because to me, Pit Barrel is so simple, but so effective. And I want to get Leanne's take on that too. But, you know, to me, always simple has been better instead of trying to make things too complicated. We have enough complicated crap in our daily lives to deal with, period. Okay.
Sure.
Enough of the speech, but I want to get your take on that.
I think there's probably two things going on there. One is the only way it might make sense is if you were trying to get around a thing called intellectual property. So if you, you know, if you say, I mean, at the end of the day, an intake, you know, and it is an intake, whether it's a snorkel, a long tube, it's still bringing air in. And, you know, and our company has proven that, you know, we'll go to the mat 100% of the time over our IP. The other reason would be is if you just like to be the mad scientist and have fun and have a contraption that you feel good about building. And, you know, so long as you build only one of them and it's for yourself, there's not a problem. I say that. But no, we, you know, I say, you know, I'm serious about it. You know, we're not in this business, you know, as a hobby. It's how we feed our family, and we're serious about it.
Sure.
And I came literally off the battlefield as a warrior and a medic to doing this. So, you know, I've always been passionate and serious about, you know, in anything that I'm doing. And, yeah. So.
Okay. Well, Leanne, I wanted to get your take on that too.
About the other barrels being out there in the market?
Well, no, not about other barrels. I mean, anybody can do that. But I mean, the one, like Noah was saying, the snorkel pipes going down the side, or some of them had fans in the top and this type of thing.
I think that people that know people and talk to people are going to know that the Pit Barrel is the one, because, you know, it's tried and true. People have used it. And I think, I don't know, most people that are really into barbecue, they're serious and they aren't going to get caught up in that gadgetry, I guess you would call it. They want really good food. And so they know they're going to get it here. But of course, there's going to be the people that, you know, want to, you know, be funny and this and that, but which is all fine. But anyway, well, that's my take.
I have a little more of a cynical take on it. I will share with you. When I looked at all those barrels and was walking away, and of course my crew was walking beside me, but as usual I'm off in the weeds thinking about something, I thought all those things that I saw today were just shortcuts designed maybe to cut down on time for the competition. I understand that. But there are also shortcuts about not really knowing and understanding the whole process of like Pit Barrel and the cook and all that. And, you know, you put a fan in it, you do this thing, you got goldfish swimming around on the outside with suntan lotion on. I don't know what the hell they had, but they had a lot of it. And my point is, I just don't think that really is a good thing if you really want to learn to cook in a barrel on charcoal. That's me. I think you've
It is if Pit Barrel puts the fish tank on for
you. Well, that's true. If Noah puts one on there, then I'll say it's okay. All right. But
grilling's supposed to be fun. So
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not ripping on them. I mean, more power to them, but I just think that you're kind of missing the point of really understanding the cook and how. Cause you know what it's like when Meathead and I get on here, we get the mad scientist crap comes out. Mm. And so I just looked at it like that, I guess with enough disdain to like, that's great, but you're kind of missing the point of all this too. So that was my,
you know, and that's fair. I think out of fairness to anyone that builds it and there's some good products out there, Tim at Gateway. I know him. He's a good guy. And you know, their product is, some would say, it gives you the snorkels and more vent, you know, adjustments. It gives you more options and control over the heat. Now, where I would beg to differ just a little bit is any of those folks, yes, you have the ability to easily change the intake and the ventilation, but your real cooking, you don't mess with it. It really ends up staying, and you could ask any of those guys, and they know this same spot that they adjust it to. And it's really the science of it is, if you were to crack the lid or offset it just so slightly, the coals really get hot because only so much air is allowed in is what's allowed out. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, we originally did is we figured out taking it to sea level all the way up to, gosh, I want to say like 12,000 feet, was that you only needed so much of a ventilation, and the air intake was really about the amount of oxygen that you allow in. So we figured that out. And the only difference really is with our cooker, we had to make the decision that if we want to create something that is truly a set it and forget it, that it really limits the amount of air that was even possible for someone new or even a seasoned, you know, professional, would be the ability to shut it down completely. And that was a tough one. And so if someone is to say, hey, if you had to talk bad about your product or one of the worst things, what would it be? On the pit barrel, it's you can't shut it down completely. It you don't have that ability. But the pros of it is it's a fraction of the cost of some of those other cookers. It's porcelain coated. The paint's not going to fail on you. You know, we did the high temperature paint and the powder coating, you know, 14 years ago, and realized that that's not a long-term solution. So I would really not feel comfortable charging someone $1,000 for something that they're going to come back and be frustrated that the paint peeled. I'd rather charge someone $300, have it be some of the best value, porcelain coat it properly, and the thing lasts a long time. You adjust your vent, you know, per your elevation, and it yields some of the best food. So yeah, I mean, to Leanne's point, you know, we're the original. It works. It's great value. And you know, again, good competition. If someone's willing to spend $1,000 on the product, their neighbor's probably going to buy ours because it's a fraction of the cost and it works. It works just as good or better, and it's easier and it's going to last longer.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show. And Noah is going to stick around for after hours. You're listening to Barbecue Nation on the USA Radio Network. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about the Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. I'm with a frog in my throat as usual. It's spring. It is springtime, so my allergies have come home from their winter vacation. We'd like to thank the Oregon Crab Commission for supporting this show and the Grilling at the Green show, which Leanne and I are doing some TV stuff on there. It's great, from sea to plate. Check out the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. Now, we've been talking with Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cookers. And you've been asked this question, I'm sure, a dozen times too, Noah, but how did your training and your experiences in the military And we've talked about lots of stuff over the years, you and I have. But how did that help you when you decided to actually start Pit Barrel? And was the tenacity that you learned, you may have had it as a child. We didn't know each other then. But what did the tenacity that you learned in the military help you get to this point also?
Yeah, I think I always had a good work ethic. I was always working. And, you know, from as soon as I could go knock on the neighbor's door and ask him if they'd give me a job doing anything, I would go do it. So I always liked that. But I think that, you know, something that there's a lot of, we could talk for hours about all the great things and the leadership that the military gives you. And, you know, I highly recommend it for anyone that if they're not sure what they want to go do, I think that the military is such a great place to go and learn about leadership. And you might for a few years, even after, say, oh, I wouldn't want to do that again. And I wouldn't want to go do it over again, but I'm really glad I did it. And what I learned and, you know, the pinnacle, I think, is, and I don't recommend, and I don't wish it upon anyone going to war, but truly experiencing war and the fog of war and seeing, you know, good people, you know, get hurt and innocent, you know, civilians and, you know, the fog of war. And if you get to that point and you see that and you're losing people that you care a lot about, those are really bad days. And there's not many things that you could face in business that, you know, and I'll still say it. I say it all the time. Hey, whatever I'm facing, I say, well, I've been through worse. And sometimes I have to say, have I been through worse? And oh yeah, I definitely have. I've definitely been through worse. I can get through this. And to always have that in your back pocket that you've experienced and persevered and made it through something that is far worse than anything you're going to experience in your normal business day. But there's different things and there's different things to navigate. And the bigger you get, you know, I say it's like sitting at a blackjack table. And when you're small, things are relative. You know, if it's a $5 bet, you're putting your $5 out there. But when you're putting, you know, several hundred dollars out there as a minimum bet, I don't do that. But when you do, the stakes are higher, right? And you're you know, and you can lose a lot more. So that's what I mean by the inventory. You know, people think, well, you know, you're growing and you're getting really big. That cuts both ways, as you could ask many different companies that are sitting on a lot of inventory and trying to figure out what they're going to do with it.
I wanted to ask you too, we've got about 5 minutes left and we will pick this up in after hours, Noah, but when you guys are working on recipes, because you've got recipes out there, a lot of them, you didn't just say, here's the barrel, cook something in it. Are you the one doing that? Or I know that your wife helps you sometimes. I'm sure she goes, this is great, or this is not so good. I've spoken to her a few times over the years, and I can see her telling you when something's not very good. So kind of like my wife. But tell us about your recipe development. I mean, you have to be creative to do recipes. Leanne does them all the time. I do them every, you know, third Tuesday of the leap year. So what about that?
Sure. So initially, yes, I was very much involved in those solid core, you know, cooks, you know, tri-tip chicken, prime rib, turkey, ribs, you know, your big staples, right? And a very, you know, simplistic, basic way to, you know, use our seasoning and our rub to do that. And then, you know, as time goes on, you want, you want different ideas and flavors and things to introduce, which is what's fun about, you know, cooking. I think, you know, we've been fortunate to get to a point where a lot of the ideas and the creativeness comes from the consumer or influencers or people that are on YouTube that have the product and know how great it cooks, but want to show a different style or, you know, a different way to use the all-purpose, you know, hanger basket.
Sure.
You know, that's something that I'm waiting for someone to do like this killer smoked meatloaf in that all-purpose basket that could just be killer. But, you know, things like that, that, you know, that make it fun. And, you know, we get recipes and things from, you know, a lot of different sources. So the long answer to your question, Jeff, is no, I don't do a lot of those fancier recipes. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy where, you know, dry rub and I don't get super fancy with it, but you know, it's somehow most of the people, they're either lying to me or telling me that they truly love it. So, you know, it's one of the two.
Leanne, I'm thinking I could do that Northwest Wellington thing I conjured up a couple of weeks ago. I can do that in a pit barrel and see how that works out.
You should try it. Yeah, I would definitely make that again. And I am very excited that I have a pit barrel now, and I am going to break it out. Not this weekend because it's Easter and I have to go see my mommy, but I'm very excited. Been wanting this for a while. So
I'm sorry. I think I promised it like 2 years ago or something.
Yeah. Good things come to those who wait.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So last question, or hopefully the last question you're thinking, what's been your biggest positive takeaway from creating and running Pit Barrel for 16 years, Noah?
Probably balancing the line of, you know, my boys, they see, I hope, and it's a hope that, you know, they're now, you know, 11 and 12 years old. But, you know, there's been times where they've said, Dad, I don't know if I want to be an entrepreneur. If this is what an entrepreneur looks like, I don't know if this is is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then there's other times that, you know, they've seen that, you know, I mean, my wife and I, we said when we first started out, okay, our plan, I mean, this is just, was the conversation. And, you know, sophisticated or not, it was, we're going to work our tails off for 5 years. And in 5 years, you know, our kids are going to be at an age where they're starting to do sports and they're starting to do different things. And we want to create a lifestyle that allows us, and not that we don't work hard, but a lifestyle that allows us to not miss any sporting event and be able to navigate and choose that. And that was our goal. Literally, that was, that was it. And we were going to work hard. We never thought about, you know, a company that we were going to build and be able to sell, or, you know, getting really rich off of it. We thought we're going to keep our prices fair. It's going to be a quality product. We know that it is. And it's going to be, you know, it should make us a decent living that will allow us to really be able to focus on our kids. And it's done that. And so I think, and we talk about that quite a bit, and that how fortunate we are that, you know, we're not having it, we live in a great little town. We don't have to drive down to the valley and be stuck in commute traffic. And what so many people have to do. And, you know, and provide I think a pretty fun, cool place to work. And, you know, we're lean certainly, but our kids get to see us work in that capacity, also give back and navigate this. And, you know, they see, you know, a couple people that, you know, what do we know? And we've somehow been able to make it work. So, you know, it's given them, I think, you know, hope that they can go out. You know, I don't think they fully understand the value of a dollar like I did when I was younger, but, you know, we keep our finger on them, and it allows us to really focus on them a lot. So
excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Noah Glanville, real quick, Noah, tell people how they can find Pit Barrels. What's a website and stuff?
Probably easiest way would be go right to pitbarrelcooker.com. Look at the dealer locator. If there's a retailer close to you, always recommend keeping your business local. If not, you can certainly order online and get it through Amazon, HomeDepot.com, and of course our website.
Sure. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. That's going to wrap the show for this week. Leanne and I will be back next week. Noah is sticking around for after hours. So go out there, cook some good food, have some fun, and do what we say, turn it, don't burn it. Until then, take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.